Welcome to Business Forward. I'm Joe Reyes, and today we're talking about how smart decisions and clear numbers can drive real business growth. You're watching Now Media Television. Welcome to Business Forward. I'm CPA Joseph Reyes, and this show is designed to help business owners navigate the complexities of taxes, accounting, and financial management with clarity and confidence. Today, I'm joined by Divya Gill, a second generation CPA, Certified Public Accountant, Financial Strategist, and Business Advisor. Divya has extensive experience in auditing, accounting, and corporate finance. Before launching her own CPA practice, she held leadership roles as an auditor, accounting manager, and controller for organizations generating more than $1 billion in annual revenue. Today, she brings that enterprise-level financial expertise to small and mid-sized businesses, helping owners gain clarity, optimize performance, and build sustainable success. Divya, welcome to Business Forward.
Thank you, Joseph. Pleasure is mine.
It's good to have you. So Divya, where do you hail from? Where are you located?
So we are located, it depends, because there are some days I live in parts of California, and there are some days I live in parts of Nevada. But my primary hub is in Irvine. That's our oldest office. And then we are also proud to share that we have branches all over in California, Northern and Southern. And in Nevada, we have two offices in Summerlin and in Henderson.
Wow, impressive. Very nice. Very nice. Well, let's get into it, Divya. You're an accountant, CPA. That's your primary occupation?
Yes.
Great, great. So what inspired you to go into accounting?
You know, the easiest answer is I'm a second generation, and this is all I have done and known and grown up in terms of a culture, the environment I was raised in. So that's my easiest way to get out of this answer. However, it's more than that. Many people see accounting as just a world of black and white numbers, spreadsheets, and tax forms. But growing up, I saw it through a completely different lens, Joseph. I saw firsthand that financial clarity can change the entire trajectory of a business, and by extension, that trajectory of that very family that owns the business. So it wasn't just about math. It wasn't about freedom, confidence, and the peace of mind that the numbers gave you. And working in corporate finance, I fell in love with the enterprise level strategy, looking at the massive operations and understanding how things work behind the scenes. And I quickly realized that the mid-sized and the rapidly growing smaller businesses are where true proactive advisory would make meaningful difference. In fact, life-changing impact. So I wanted to take that high-level corporate experience and the precision and bring it down to the entrepreneurs who are in the trenches every day building legacies of their own.
Yeah, there's a big demand for that service and that specialty. So as a second-generation CPA, how has that background shaped the way you support business owners? What are you bringing to the small business and mid-sized business owner that you had in the larger firms?
So for me, that's a very personal question. It is a great question because we are talking about not just building a career, but a legacy here. Growing up in this household where all we spoke was numbers, I had the front row seat to what discipline, ethics, and deep responsibility looks like so that you can protect a person's livelihood. So it became part of my DNA, so to speak, early on. And that background really gave me that ability to bridge the tradition with the modern innovation. I learned that there are foundational principles that you absolutely need from ground up. However, the business landscape is ever evolving, especially with AI being added and how dynamically businesses are growing given the technological advancements we're experiencing. Legacy, backward-looking thinking isn't enough anymore. So today we combine that deep-rooted old-school integrity and experience with modern, fast-paced, system-driven, forward-looking, strategic approach. And we ensure business owners aren't just looking at historical data in the rear view, but looking forward and planning for a future with real-time data today.
Well, basically learn from the past and take it into the future. Why is financial clarity so important for entrepreneurs and growing companies, even though most of them are not financial guys, if you will?
Absolutely. And that's one of my favorite parts to explain to clients. I can give you examples after examples where we have clients walking in and they will give us their P&L and they'll give us a balance sheet and go, here, this is what I did for the whole year, but now they're not looking forward, right? So without that clarity, the leadership is purely operating on guesswork, gut feeling, and emotions. When a company is trying to grow, moving towards the 20 million mark, 50 million mark, 90 million mark, the small hidden blind spots can quickly balloon into massive liabilities. And that's where financial clarity is ultimately the most important factor, because it changes your posture as a CEO. When you know exactly where you're spending, what comprises of your revenues, where your margins are, your day-to-day operating expenses are, and where your biggest piece, cash is king, cash flow is, you will make decisions that are not driven by anxiety, fear, and survival anymore. You will make them out of absolute strength, confidence, strategy, and vision.
Yeah, small businesses and entrepreneurs, they need advice, they need counsel, they can't just go it alone, unless they're experienced in the financial matters. So what are some of the most common financial blind spots that you find a lot of small businesses and mid-sized businesses having to deal with and surprise them?
I'm sure, Joseph, as a fellow CPA in your career, you see the same. For me, I would categorize it into three major categories. One is I call a tax season only trap. Like I referred to my earlier example, I have several business owners who will just walk in the day off or the day before with once a year, come see me and then get that shock. Oh my God, I owe all this money. How's that even possible? Right? So I'm sure you relate to that. The other piece of it is the misunderstanding valuation, right? A lot of founders just assume that the business value is just the revenues minus the expenses. But being in the same field, you can completely relate to the fact that there are more parameters you need to look at. You look at the, when it comes to your valuation, you need to look at your financial audits, your recurring revenue models, and you also need to look at your intellectual property. Right? They might leave millions of dollars in equity on the table because they don't know what a buyer or investor is actually looking for. And then the third notorious one is the siloed systems. One hand doesn't know what the other is doing. When you're bookkeeping, payroll, tax strategy, daily operations, they all don't talk to each other. The data is now delayed, corrupted. For me, it's garbage in, garbage out. And in today's market, delayed data is literally useless. So these are some of the, so to speak, blind spots that I have spotted in three major categories.
Yeah, business owners have to remember that they're leaders and that their team, they're the ones who are responsible for bridging the different silos into one cohesive unit. That's leadership. You know, that's not a financial thing, but if you don't get that right, you, like you say, you can have a silo type of business. And that just creates confusion. So what does it mean to build So what does it mean to build a strong financial foundation for sustainable growth? How do you see that?
That's such a loaded question, but let me see if I can try making it abbreviated for the purpose of a discussion, or sum it up in many ways. It means that your financial operations are run by airtight, predictable systems, not human memory or ad hoc stressful firefighting situations. A truly strong foundation requires a leadership philosophy grounded in clarity, confidence, high standards, giving your executive team the exact tools, systems, the transparency, and the metrics that they need to maintain that financial integrity. And for me, sustainable growth means that your infrastructure can support a doubling or tripling of your revenue without collapsing your operational efficiency. As an example, I had this one client who came in and wanted to grow his company to the next level. But then he realized capital was an issue. He also realized headcount was an issue. So ultimately, it's about creating a business that is resilient to your future planning, your growth, market shifts, and completely optimized so that the owner can scale it with confidence and build a lasting legacy.
Yeah, do you find a lot of entrepreneurs, because I see it all the time, a lot of entrepreneurs leave the financial side in the back. It's back office work. You know, it's not as important as generating The revenues is not as important as building the business and marketing, getting leads and selling. And they just think that as long as there's cash in the bank, they're in good shape. That's not the case.
There was that ideal scenario where everybody would look at their business from all aspects, right? And we see it all the time where people are just prepping at the end moment. Their thing is, oh, I'll get to bookkeeping, but then life happens. And then they lose sight of the revenues. And then they lose sight of the overall net profits that they might make. And then the tension comes to the whole thing when they're low in cash, you know? Instead of waiting till the end moment, you should be looking at the whole picture, be it weekly, be it daily, whatever your schedule permits. But you should definitely have your deep dive sessions to evaluate your overall financial health.
Yeah, I totally agree. We see eye to eye all the way through. Financial clarity is not just about knowing what happened in the past. It's about understanding, you know, where the business stands today and what decisions need to be made next to take it to the next level. But let's take a break, and when we come back, we're going to talk about how stronger accounting practices, tax planning, and advisory support can help business owners improve performance and create new opportunities for growth. We'll be right back. We'll be right back with more insights, tools, and real talk to help you grow your business. This is Business Forward on Now Media Television. And we're back. I'm Joe Reyes, and you're watching Business Forward on Now Media Television. Let's get back into it. Welcome back to Business Forward. I'm CPA Joseph Reyes, and today I'm speaking with Divya Gill, who is a certified public accountant, a financial strategist, and business advisor. One of the goals of this show is to translate complex financial concepts into practical insights that business owners can actually use. Taxes, accounting, compliance, reporting, and advisory services can feel overwhelming. But when they are managed strategically, they become powerful tools for improving profitability, strengthening performance, and supporting long-term growth. Divya's experience across corporate finance and business advisory gives her a unique perspective on how companies can become more disciplined, more efficient, and more financially confident. So Divya, how should business owners think about tax planning beyond simply filing a return?
You know, Joseph, have you ever been compared to a dentist? I have been told coming to my office is like coming to a dentist's office or going to one, where it's something to avoid till the last minute, endure, and then forget for about 12 months or so. But filing a report is just reporting the history. Okay. When it comes to tax planning, people have to take that forward-looking perspective. You cannot drive by looking at your rear view mirror. By the time April rolls around, your ability to legally optimize your position is virtually zero, okay? So true tax planning is forward-looking, 365-day strategic initiative. It's about structuring the business operations, your investments, and your cash flow in real time so that you control the outcome come before the year even ends. I tell my clients all the time that tax planning should not be a defensive firefighting approach, but more of an offensive strategy. When you shift from reactive filing to proactive planning and filing, you stop writing unnecessary checks to the government and you start keeping some of the capital that you have invested in the business, possibly for your own scaling of the business and savings and other purposes.
Yeah, tax planning is huge. You know, as a CPA, I know for many years, I mean, I've been a CPA since the 90s, and I've been an accountant all my life. And when you tell somebody you're a CPA, one of the first things they do is say to you is, oh, you do taxes. I'm like, wait a second. We do taxes, accounting, bookkeeping, planning, advisory. It's not just taxes, you know. So doing tax planning is a massively important skill and service that business owners need. And we're going to get into that a little bit more in a few minutes. But do tell our listeners, what is the difference between accounting and true business advisory?
That's a great question. And I truly, truly relate to everything you just said. The difference between accounting, basic accounting, and true business advisory is the difference between a scorekeeper and a coach. A basic accountant in or a bookkeeper is your scorekeeper. If they look at your past transactions, you categorize them and put them all in a little column, make it into pretty spreadsheets and give it to you come tax time. Wonderful. We need somebody to do that. That's compliance, completely necessary. However, your business is not going to grow with that. What we need is tax planning. True business advisory is the coaching piece that we all want people to know and learn about. An advisor doesn't just tell you what the numbers are. They tell you that what the numbers could possibly mean for your future. A strategic advisor, like our firm, we like to sit down with you. We like to analyze your risks out there with the businesses, looking at your budget, your forecast, optimizing the profits and the margins, and preparing your business for scaling or eventual valuation if you plan on selling at some point. So compliance is necessary. It tells you where you have been, but the advisory piece maps out exactly where you're capable of going.
Yeah, that's very well said. Advisory is the next step up. You take the data that, you know, the bookkeeping and what the compliance work does for you, and then you crunch it out. Are we talking about CFO or business advisory? Are we talking about accounting advisory or just general business advisory? What's the difference between those in your view?
Sure. And that's a great question. It's important for viewers to understand that distinction. When it comes to business advisory or CFO, we offer all of that. The way we look at the business advisory piece is where we look at your financials and we'll give you ideas. We might not be very much in collaboration with you like on a daily basis. We might touch base with you on monthly or quarterly basis, frequency of your choosing. But that's more business advisory services. We will then also help you with business valuation piece if needed, with any mergers, acquisition related tasks as needed. But when it comes to the CFO piece, that's a very nuanced function, I call it so, because that's a person who is almost an outside person who partners with you almost as your team member, and it works diligently with you as a CEO and acts as your finance guru, who's going to tell you spend your cash this way, or this is what our expenses look like and this is the cash we should have, or any lending needs that need to be satisfied. So those are some of the distinctions. And the general advisory is something we do for almost most of our clients during tax prep time, and then of course on a quarterly basis.
Well, very nice. So you do all that. You do valuations and M&A work and advisory and CFO. And so you run the whole gamut. Very nice.
Yes, we do. Yes.
Right. Very nice. How can better accounting practices help business owners uncover opportunities for growth? What are your thoughts on that?
Absolutely. So when you have better accounting practices, what that equates to us is that the data holds the secrets. And when your accounting systems and practices are clean, airtight, these secrets become your competitive advantages, right? For example, many business owners know their overall revenue. But in your experience, how many of them can tell you the exact profit margin per service, per line, or per customer segment? Not many can. When we clean up that financial data and build clear systems, we often uncover the company's highest revenue products might be actually their lowest margin drain on resources. Conversely, we might find a small overlooked division that is wildly profitable and ready to scale. So these are some of the practices that you'll come across, and you can now turn your financial statements into more of a diagnostic tool, and they highlight where exactly to cut the waste, where to inject the capital, where the highest ROI opportunities are hiding right under your nose. So these are some of the advantages that you could experience.
Wow, very good. Very well. That's huge. And I don't think most business owners think of it that way, think of accounting in that regard. And now it becomes a high value service and a thought process than, you know, just bookkeeping and just low level work. Here's a good one for you. What financial habits, and I think we've talked about this a little bit already, what financial habits do we want to see clients develop before tax season?
You know, this is something we're trying to educate our clients, and I hope the viewers take this in a way where I can break down in three particular pieces. One is operational rhythm. Do not look at your books, like we talked before, at the end of the year because time got away from you. If you are only looking at your financials when your bookkeeper emails you every few months, you're running blind. High-performing founders and who are very successful in our client base review their cash flow metrics weekly, and they deep dive into full financial statements monthly or at least quarterly, given the transaction limit they have. The second one is that you have to separate operations from strategy. What that means is that build a systematic process where a percentage of your revenue is automatically swept into a tax and cash reserve account. This prevents any of those classic cash crunch scenarios or shocks that you might have. And then the third one is you have to document with discipline. Implement clean cloud-based systems where backups are automatic, like QuickBooks is there, Xero is there. You have Sage and you have SAP out there, where receipts contracts are tied directly to transactions instantly. Where when your systems handle the heavy lifting on day-to-day basis, tax season becomes almost an absolute non-event. It becomes just another April 15th rather than like a fire drill that disrupts your entire operation for those set days that particular month.
And then there's the stress in your accountants and your staff that you have to deal with all this last minute crunch instead of doing things throughout the year. And then it comes December 31st, you're almost ready for closing out the year. That's one of the things that I've seen in my practice. That's a challenge. Here's one of my favorite topics is tax planning. I love the tax planning world, something that a lot of people don't think about very much, but how can strategic tax planning help improve profitability and cash flow?
That is one of my favorite questions, and it is one of the driving forces that motivates me, especially when I'm sitting with clients and when we are looking at their largest expenses. And when we tell them, you know, you could legally and strategically reduce that expense by 15, 20, or 30% by entity structuring, optimization, be it S-Corp, C-Corp, by state tax strategies, depending on the state you live in, or research and development credits. I mean, if you look at the big, beautiful bill, there are so many different credits out there, like the pass-through entity credit. So there's that huge pure profit you're talking about that can drop straight back into your bottom line or into your losses as carryovers if you are running into losses. Like, don't leave anything on the table. And it goes deeper than just savings for me, because Joseph's tax strategy or the strategic tax planning frees up the liquidity you need to make aggressive, profitable business moves. And it allows you to fund new hires, purchase revenue-generating equipment, or invest in marketing that you could not before. So it's like the ultimate lever for compounding your profitability, because it ensures that your hard-earned dollars are working for you and not just funding the government.
Yeah, pay attention. Your money's not going to go right out the door to taxes unnecessarily. This is a great conversation. Tax planning and accounting are not just compliance functions. They are business tools, if you think of it that way. When owners understand how to use financial information strategically, they can make smarter decisions, reduce surprises, and build stronger companies. Let's take another break, and when we return, we'll talk about operational efficiency, profitability, and how financial management supports sustainable growth. We'll be right back. We'll be right back with more insights, tools, and real talk to help you grow your business. This is Business Forward on Now Media Television. And we're back. I'm Joe Reyes, and you're watching Business Forward on Now Media Television. Let's get back into it. Okay, welcome back to Business Forward. I'm continuing my conversation with Divya Gill about financial management, business strategy, and sustainable growth. Many businesses look successful from the outside. They may be busy growing and generating revenue. But behind the scenes, growth can create pressure if the financial systems are not strong enough to support it. That is why operational efficiency, cash flow, reporting, compliance, and risk management matter. They help business owners see what is working, what needs attention, and where better decisions can create stronger results. So Divya, what does operational efficiency mean from a financial perspective?
From a financial perspective, Joseph, operational efficiency means, for me, truly optimization of your cash conversion cycle. What that means in simple words is that you have to maximize the return on every single dollar, hour, and resource that you have injected into the business. Many owners will focus on their top line. Hey, I made $5 million, and that's a cause for celebration. I absolutely agree. Assuming that if sales are up, everything else is fine. But if you have to double your headcount, and if you have to double your software costs and burn out your team in order to get that 10% bump in revenue, that's not operationally efficient. You're just bloated, for lack of words. True financial operational efficiency means your systems are built so that your profit margins widen as you scale. It means that your overhead doesn't grow at the same pace as your revenue, allowing the business to become more profitable, more liquid, and significantly less fragile. That will allow it to be larger and scale on its own.
Yeah, very nice. So how can business owners identify whether their financial systems are supporting or limiting growth? How can they tell?
Yeah, it boils down to friction and visibility. Okay, if closeout at the end of the month takes 3 or 4 weeks, your systems are definitely working against you and limiting you. If your management team has to manually export tons of data into 3 different spreadsheets just to figure out what your true labor costs are or inventory levels are, your systems are broken. So when financial infrastructure is limiting the growth, it creates a ceiling because that owner is constantly looking backwards. They're making those decisions based on the data that's given, which is stale. Now you're looking at 30-day-old data, 45-day-old data, and 60-day-old data. On the flip side, we have clients, and this is an example that I can share from many different clients across board. They have systems that support their growth. They get that real-time visibility to the numbers, and everything seems to flow seamless. It acts as an automated dashboard that lets the leadership spot a variance or anomaly or an opportunity instantly, allowing them to pivot from a minor leak and stopping that from becoming a major crisis.
So a lot of what you're saying there sounds to me like a Claude AI agent will be just perfect for reducing the month-end close from 30 days to maybe a week for small businesses. What do you think about that?
You know, there are a lot of conversations that we all are having about AI. Yes, it's great to have that one AI agent that will go tap into your data, look into it, and build you beautiful spreadsheets in 5 minutes. But then what do you do with that? So my approach is, do I support AI? Absolutely. Do I encourage clients and my employees and myself, we all, to use AI? Absolutely. But then the key here is review what AI is producing. It's a very new tool. We are still in the 1998 era of internet when you compare where AI is right now, where it's still going to take off at some point, but it's not completely there. Oftentimes, and this is a live example, this guy comes up to us, gives us ChatGPT prepared financials, and next thing, he owes $500,000. Okay. And we go, well, you gave us these numbers. He's like, there is no way I did this. And real example, the guy had taken the transfers, or AI had taken the transfers and categorized those as revenues. So any transfers between businesses, intercompany, or any of that essentially overestimated all the revenues. And now his liability was like tenfold, which you got to be careful about these things. It's garbage in, garbage out if we do not process the information, review the information. So that's my stand on AI. Use it to make your life easy, but don't skip reviewing it because it will cost you.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I mean, I've caught ChatGPT making mathematical errors on a simple algebraic formula. I'm like, what? So, all right, so So cash flow management, why is that so important for growing companies? This is a big one, I think, with people... The business is growing. They see money coming in and out. Things are hopping. But If they're not paying careful attention, they may be in for a big surprise. So what do you think about that?
You know, that there's this saying, profit is an accounting concept. Cash is king. Cash is reality. You can have a business that looks so widely profitable on a P&L, your profit and loss statement, but if all that profit is now being drained or trapped because of uncollected accounts receivable or is tied up in slow-moving inventory, you can easily go bankrupt in over the next few months if you don't manage that right. And we have seen scenarios like that. Growth is actually incredibly cash-hungry beast. Okay, I often tell clients that when you scale, you often have to hire people, you have to invest in your infrastructure, you have to pay for your marketing upfront, long before you'll start collecting the fruits of all those investments in terms of new clients or new business. So if you do not have the tight, predictive cash flow forecasting, rapid growth can choke a company out of existence. Managing cash flow rigorously ensures you always know what your exact runway is so that you can fund your expansion safely without running out of oxygen.
Yeah, I always tell new business owners, especially, but I always tell business owners, make sure you have a line of credit. Make sure you have money back there somewhere in case you need to tap into it. Being well financed is critical for business growth and existence. And you could be technically insolvent and not even know it, you know? So
Absolutely.
have those credit cards and lines of credit, especially startups, you know, you're bootstrapping it. Make sure you have the financing behind you somewhere, and don't expect the business to be self-sufficient in the beginning unless you have great financing already set up. So, what should business owners watch out for beyond revenue when measuring a business health? I mean, it's not just revenue, right? It's a lot of what we've been talking about, but let's expand upon that.
Right. If you were to recap some of the stuff we talk about, I could just tell you in a few words that revenue is like a feel-good feeling. It's a nice metric to have. You know, profit is your sanity. You need that. But your cash and the valuations, your liquidity are your reality. So if you look at just revenues, you are falling victim to like an illusion here. To measure true corporate health, you need to watch three critical pillars. First is your gross profit margin per product or service line. You need to know what is it costing you to deliver, offer the core product, and make sure you have margin that can flow down to cover your overhead. There's a second thing I always tell people is, what's your cost of customer acquisition? Okay, if it costs you more to acquire a client than they're actually worth to you, in terms of the bottom line, over a course of so many months or years, you're losing money than making. It might be instant gratification immediately, but it might not be the long-term best strategy to dive into. And third is something that we call, which you are probably familiar with, working capital ratio. Do you have enough short-term liquidity to cover your immediate obligations and expenses? These are the metrics that determine whether, as a business, you're generally healthy or just built on a like a house of cards.
Right. Yeah, and you know, to build upon that, you know, you can take your financials. Nowadays, you can dump the financials into an AI product, a finance AI product, and it'll calculate your ratios, liquidity ratios, and all the types of ratios that a business owner is going to have to know to keep his eye on, or her eye on the business, or at least have a CFO or somebody who's your right-hand person to help you keep an eye on what's important, because this stuff can sneak up on you and surprise you in a really bad way. So how can better reporting help leaders, do you think, make faster and smarter decisions? And I think that piggybacks on closing properly and timely every month.
Well, it piggies back on that. That is like the crux and basis of it. And it completely changes the velocity of the business. Because in today's dynamic, evolving AI-driven economic landscape, speed is a massive competitive advantage. To your point, Joseph, when you say you can go ahead and research all these metrics and AI will explain you what each of these means, then what you're doing is now empowering the CEO and the overall executive management of the company because they have access to structured, clean, and dynamic financial reporting. They're not just guessing or relying on their gut instincts. As an example, if there's a massive contract that comes to the client's desk, accurate data follows you to know or allows you to determine whether you have the capital to fund that particular contract or not. And that means growth for your business. If you just do it out of your gut that, yeah, I could make it work, that is not going to help you. This is no different than the line of credit example you gave, that if the person has a line of credit, they want to draw down. Not drawing down every time from the line of credit is important, but you know, planning enough in terms of your working capital will empower you so that you know what are the peaks and the slumps in your business and how to plan for that better. So it gives the leaders the objective truth and the absolute confidence to say a definitive yes to the right opportunities and immediate protective no to the wrong ones.
Now, the takeaway is business owners need to talk to their accountants and need to watch out for warning signs and make sure you have a strong financial structure. Growth is not only about bringing in more revenue. It's about building the systems, the discipline, and financial visibility needed to manage that growth very well. Let's take another break, and when we come back, we'll close with practical advice for entrepreneurs who want to retain more of what they earn, strengthen their financial foundation, and build long-term wealth. We'll be right back. We'll be right back with more insights, tools, and real talk to help you grow your business. This is Business Forward on Now Media Television. And we're back. I'm Joe Reyes, and you're watching Business Forward on Now Media Television. Let's get back into it. Welcome back to Business Forward. I'm CPA Joseph Reyes, and I'm closing today's conversation with Divya Gill. One of the most important messages of this show is that business owners do not have to feel lost when it comes to taxes, accounting, and financial management. With the right strategy, the right information, and the right advisory support, entrepreneurs can make better decisions, retain more of what they earn, improve profitability, and build stronger financial futures. Divya's work is focused on empowering business owners with financial knowledge, transparency, and confidence, because when entrepreneurs understand their numbers, they're better prepared to lead, grow, protect the business, and create sustainable success. Divya, what financial concepts should every business owner understand?
You know, something I tell my clients, Joseph, all the time, know your business, learn your numbers. You do not need a CPA license like both of us to be an exceptional CEO. What you do need is an understanding of the basic language of business. You could start with a simple concept like we discussed before, gross margin versus net margin. Gross margin is what tells you if your product or service is actually profitable to deliver, while your net margin tells you if your overall company structure is efficient and you are able to cover most of your expenses or all of your expenses. Then there is the difference between cash basis and accrual basis. Cash tells you what's in your bank today. Accrual will tell you the economic reality of your business over time by matching your revenues with the actual expenses it took to generate them. Okay. And one of the last ones is EBITDA, which is earnings before income taxes, depreciation, and amortization. Sounds very lengthy, but EBITDA, what does that mean? It's a universal metric that I encourage clients to learn that investors, lenders, bankers, and buyers use to determine your true business valuation. So if you understand these three aspects, you can command the room and you can make highly strategic decisions and aid your tax planning.
Yeah, those EBITDA is a big deal. A lot of people don't realize that. And usually the average person doesn't understand that concept, but a decent accountant can easily get you to understanding what that's about. And it becomes really important, especially when you value your business, you know. So entrepreneurs, how do you recommend they become proactive instead of reactive with their finances?
Kind of stems back to our original point we made in the other segment, in the initial segment, that requires you from that historical reporting approach, like shifting gears from that approach to more predictive forecasting so that you are more forward looking. A reactive business owner will look at their financials, have a freak out, like it's a history book, and then use it to see what went wrong after the damage is already done. a difference between a reactive from a proactive one. A proactive one will go ahead, look at the 12-month rolling forecast for the cash flows. They'll look at the numbers like a GPS. That's going to tell them the way to go. Instead of saying, wow, we ran out of cash in June and we have the next 6 months of the year to go and salaries to pay, mm-hmm. a proactive planner and with the proactive system lets you look ahead in January of next year and say, if we maintain this current trajectory, we will hit a cash crunch possibly in June. So we need to adjust our pricing, or we need to defer some capital investments, or to your point, secure a line of credit now. Okay, so proactively managing isn't about predicting the future perfectly. It's about building airtight systems that give you enough lead time to change and pivot for future.
Nick, survival is at stake, you know, the way I see it. So what should business owners be asking their CPA or advisor throughout the year?
Please don't talk to us just once a year. I'm saying this on behalf of both. Probably as CPAs, if your only communication with us, right, is an email exchange in March or April, you don't have a strategic advisor. You are now demoting our role to a data entry clerk. To get that real value, you need to initiate that high standard ongoing conversation throughout the year. Because guess what? Businesses operate through every day and every month of the year, and they don't have the shutdown periods like the tax season is expected to be. And next time you meet your financial planner or your professional, ask them some of the key specific questions that, how does current financial performance of your company benchmark against your competitors? Your CPA who understands the industry and business should be able to answer that. Talk to them about your current trajectory and performance this quarter, what your liability will be in terms of quarterly estimates, and what entity optimizations and structuring strategies can you implement to possibly reduce those estimates? Could you be possibly putting money away into solo 401k if you own your S-Corp? Or could you be looking into deferring dividends depending on your tax bracket because your capital gains on ordinary rate might be too high? So, you know, when you audit our balance sheet, what are the threats you look at, the risks you look at, dear CPA? These are some of the questions a true advisor will welcome, like we do in our firm. And this allows you to evolve the relationship of not just a number data cruncher with your CPA, but be a true collaborative partnership where you are able to get the coaching and bring that real enterprise level value to the table so that you can grow.
Yeah, so those are all good points. And I don't think people oftentimes understand the value of an accountant. You know, you say tell somebody you're an accountant, they have this idea that it's just numbers and, you know, ticking and tying and all that good stuff. And they don't realize a CPA is uniquely educated and trained and licensed, by the way, to think at such a high level when it comes to financial data and tax data and saving money. And I don't think a lot of people understand the true value that a CPA can bring to the table. So what happens when you think, what advice would you give to a business owner who feels overwhelmed by the financial side of the business and they're not really, you're not getting their attention the way you want to get their attention, let's just say?
I don't know, millions of meetings I've had in my lifetime where the first time I meet them and they feel overwhelmed, I tell them, stop, breathe. It's completely normal to feel that way. You just started your business and you're a visionary, you're a creator, you're an operator, a brilliant technician, not because you wanted to reconcile bank accounts. That's our job. Let the experts help you in that area. Financial anxiety is really about the numbers themselves. It's more about the lack of visibility. It's the fear of the unknown. How many times do people walk in and go, I don't know what I'm dealing with. I don't know what my liability loan or be on a payment plan with the IRS or the state. My advice is to always approach such situations with clarity and empathy for your own self. You do not have to fix everything overnight. We like to put you on some kind of plan where we go, this is step one. This is where you need to be in short term. This is your step two for long term. And then for step three, that would be wealth management and preservation of wealth strategies. Leadership means to me that you're acknowledging the gaps that there are and then trusting high standard systems and experts to help you bridge that gap. Because you built a business from nothing, and you're more than capable of mastering your financial sandbox. You just need the right team, the right processes, the right system, and the right roadmap.
Yeah, give the financial side its due, right? It's not a small matter. So just give our viewers one or two steps that they can take today to start strengthening their financial foundation and break the habits that they probably already, that many have already developed.
You know, that's okay. Something I'll share that I do. And if you do only one thing today, schedule a mandatory recurring 30-minute block on your calendar every single week, maybe for your own self. Call it your financial clarity hour on your Outlook calendar, okay? During those 30 minutes, turn off your phone, close out your email, and just look at your cash position. Stare at it. Look at your AR. Look at your upcoming obligations, your expenses. Do not do work in your business during this time, okay? This is also part of the business. Spending that much time allocating it to look at what your business is doing and how it's performing. Building a world-class financial foundation doesn't require massive corporate overhaul on day one. It starts with simple disciplined habits of showing up for your numbers. Once you establish that rhythm, the financial rhythm we have been talking about, and that clarity hour, the clarity, the confidence will come, because that clarity is exactly what will unlock your next level of growth. So look at your numbers, process them, and sit on them and figure out what differences you could make, what costs you could cut. You could also make an Excel file out there that would help you understand where all the revenue sources are and where all the money is going out. You could have a vendor file looking at what margins exist out there. You don't have to do it all at once. You can piecemeal it, but you know, setting that 30 minutes aside for yourself just in 1 week, one day a week, you will see how much knowledge you have of where you stand and how empowered and confident you'll feel.
That's great advice. I just read an article this morning about business owners should wake up at 4 a.m. before the whole world is awake and just quietly focus on important matters that you want to take your business into. And at that time in the morning, the phones are not ringing, the emails are not coming in, everybody's sleeping. But getting up at 4 o'clock in the morning, good luck with that. I'm going to give it a try, but I don't know about that. So, but 30 minutes a week, when it's quiet, it's great advice. So Divya, you have great experience and a lot of great advice. It's been a absolute pleasure hearing from you and talking with you. So for the viewers who are watching us, tell us a little bit more about your CPA practice. What is the best way to contact you? What kind of clients do you take on, et cetera?
Sure. So our focus at Guild Tax Group is primarily B2B. We work with businesses and we work with high net worth individuals to help them with tax strategy, entity structuring, and proactive planning. Business owners can follow our work through our website, Guild Tax Group, and across social media platforms like TikTok, Instagram, Facebook, YouTube, and LinkedIn. You could also call us. We'd love to talk. It's 866-GILLTAX, GILLTAX. Or email us, yourcpa@guildtaxgroup.com. Thank you so much, Joseph, for having me. And it was a pleasure.
It was a pleasure. Thank you. And I wish you the best. And look forward to speaking with you in the future again. Thanks. Divya, thank you for bringing your expertise, clarity, and practical insight to Business Forward. Today, we talked about tax planning, accounting, financial strategy, business advisory, operational efficiency, profitability, and sustainable growth. To everyone watching, remember this: stronger businesses are built with more than just ambition. They are built with clarity, discipline, strategy, and financial confidence. I'm CPA Joseph Reyes, and this is Business Forward. Watch this episode and catch the podcast at www.nowmedia.tv.